Hello and welcome to episode 108 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
Colin was going to get in there.
No.
You missed your opportunity. There's a power vacuum.
Can we try that again with more energy? Hello and welcome to episode 108 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing!
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Is that too much energy or...
I liked retarded Keith better than subdued Keith, actually.
Yeah.
Sleepy Keith or...
I didn't feel real sincerity from you, Colin.
What?
It's because he's trying to be Keith. He can't be sincere.
Oh, no.
Keith.
That's a good point.
That is true. I suggest selling your soul to the devil, and then you're probably on the right track.
They play Scorn.
Wait, is that
so
what
he
you did?
What?
Is that what you did?
No, that's what Keith did.
I mean, you're never sincere, right?
What?
Like, every... Okay. We're off,
but he plays Scorn, and you said they have no souls. So how can
that.
He make a deal with
it? No, he said we're not people.
I didn't say that either.
He said we're not people.
I don't
Scorn
think I
players are not people.
I did not say that. I said you and
podcast.
Nick Priest and
Trevor.
And Trevor Christensen are not people.
There it is.
Yeah.
You just happen to be Scorn players who are also... But anyway.
Okay.
We're also zombies.
Well, this is boring.
So introductions.
So much for we were going to be nicer on this podcast.
We're trying.
This is Josh and I play Mercs.
This is Crump and I play Circle, Rhett, and Mercs.
This is Lance. I play Kador, Circle, and Mercs.
This is Colin. I play Scorn.
This is John and I play Protector and Menoth, Minions, maybe Scorn, Convergence of Cirrus, Legion. Yeah.
You've actually legitimately been playing some games lately. I've been super impressed.
12 this week.
I don't know if it's just because, like, Chad and Keith are gone or what's going on, but you're just suddenly infused with the vigor of a much younger man, a much younger and more virile man. Yeah.
That's what his wife said last night, too.
Ooh.
Wait.
That meant to be
I loved that was an unintentional I banged your wife joke. Colin got his own joke literally 3 seconds after everyone else did.
His face is bright red.
I was literally sitting there going, oh no, he didn't.
He didn't intentionally. I know that for a fact. Yeah.
That was not my intention.
You didn't intend. Hold on. Did you just say you didn't intend to sleep with my wife?
I did not.
It was like
it
one
was
of
an
those.
Accident.
It was an accident, yeah.
Well, you see, I was running through your house with my pants around my ankles, and then I tripped and fell, and, you know.
Anyway. This is getting awkward now.
Oops, I tripped and fell on his...
Right.
Oops, I did it again.
Anyway, no. Anyway, we are missing Keith and Chad because they're at the WTC, and we're trying to record sort of... This is kind of a filler episode to go up on Wednesday because...
You ruined the joke.
What?
Dang it.
Lance, cut that out.
All right.
Keith and Chad have shamed America, right? Are you with me, Crump?
Yes.
Keith and Chad have completely shamed their country, so we kicked them off the podcast.
Right.
Fourth place.
We lost World War III.
Yep.
To the Germans.
Schaeffel de Spree.
You mean the Polish?
The Polish
no.
German.
No, they lost to Germany to they, get out
Keith
of
and
the
Chad
final
lost
rounds.
To Germany.
Well, Keith didn't, just Chad.
Yeah. Or Chad.
Keith. Way to go, Chad.
Keith went 5-0, but was drugged down by the incompetence of the rest of his team.
Well, that's cold. We're going to talk a lot about WTC, at least from what we saw from the live feed, and then maybe share some of our thoughts about it. One thing I want to make very clear, you can't...
There was a live feed?
Yeah.
I'm on the
website. Yeah, no, but I mean, it wasn't like an actual
wasn't
like,
a video
okay,
feed.
Yeah.
No, it was just a live feed with results.
Yeah. They're just updates.
But you can't read too much into individual records in the WTC.
Right.
Because
of the way the matchups
work. Yeah. Some people are put forward as sort of prey, like to be pounced on, and you try to put somebody forward... That will at least have sort of a 50-50 is what you're hoping for. And then when they put somebody forward, you try to put two people up there that are advantaged in their matchup. So depending on how the matchups go, somebody can have much harder games to play because the other team is trying to put matchups that are favorable to them against the person that gets put up. So it's one of those things where if you get chosen for favorable – there are some of those – teammates that get chosen for more favorable matchups than others by design of how the picking goes. I don't think I explained that well, but
we've talked about it on some of the previous podcasts too, like in terms of Keith talking about how they were going to select their matchups that, you know, people like they had Chad take a list specifically because they felt it would allow them to put Chad out there for more matchups and just be like, yeah, you'll still have kind of a shot to win these games that we put you out forward, and then we can pick, we have a better control over what matchups we pick for the rest of the team later on down the road.
Oh, poor Chad. He's just the sacrificial pawn.
I mean, not 100%. I don't know all the details of exactly how they set up their selection process.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say some of the point was like if we have this like this is, you know, everyone was like, Chad, why didn't you play your Gristle list? Why didn't you play your Gristle list, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, the reason was the particular set of lists that Chad took, they thought would allow them to put Chad up front more often and draw like certain matchups out of their opponents that they wanted to draw out to match up against Chad so that the other four would be able to construct better matchups.
There were 6-person teams, right?
Five-man teams.
So instead of like in a normal tournament that you'd think of like, I have these two lists versus your two lists, I have these two lists versus your 10 lists.
Right.
Something along those lines.
Well, it just depends though, because like half the team has that where they're, that's like my two lists versus your 10 lists, right? And the other half the team has, you know, our 10 lists versus your 2 lists because they're getting put up in favorable situations. So, you know, it just depends. And I don't have enough details about how that selection process went down to tell you who was disadvantaged or who was advantaged.
Right.
And Keith is clearly a very good player, and I'm very proud that he went 5-0. So I'm not trying to take anything away from that accomplishment. But be careful to put too much stock into who won games and who didn't because of how the selection.
Keith may very well have been the guy that they were holding till the end and was able to like match up.
They kind of
particularly given that Keith was the one who picked the matchup.
He was just like, he probably did that so that even if they lost, he'd be like, well, my fault.
He's probably just angling. He's like, every round I'm angling for the Searforge player. I know there's got to be one in
there. Well, I mean, we tease Keith, but I know Keith was taking it very seriously.
Oh, yeah,
what was best for the team.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, and I gave the rest of the WTC team a hard time there about their incompetence, but obviously it's a tough road. These are all like the best players in their countries. So.
Hey, there's no shame to be had in
second and fourth. Yeah.
And from what I understand, the finals was very competitive. I mean, I know Poland got to a 3-0 lead to win, but the United States came back and won two of those games. Mm-hmm. And then some of the other games were very close.
Very close.
Could have gone either way from what I understand.
I understand Flanders game was super close. And Modesto's game was probably pretty close. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Congratulations to our teams and to everybody.
And congratulations to Poland, the world team champion for the year. And funny how that it's being held in Poland next year, so I wonder if that means some of their players will have to help organize and run it.
That's sad.
That's making it harder to defend.
There's not as good beer in Poland.
Isn't there?
No.
Mm. Or are you going next year?
I'm going to try.
That would be amazing.
I'm going to try.
You better learn how to beat Vindictus. That's all I'm saying. We'll start with Vindictus, and then we'll...
All right. Train me up Vindictus up. Sounds good.
You're going to see him all the time.
I know. He's pretty much one of the most popular.
One of my 12 games this week, I brought Vinny D out to play him against Josh, and I had the jankiest assassination ever because I was getting my butt handed to me. I literally charged Vindictus into two Chaozzies, killed them, made two Zealots, and bombed him into oblivion along with one Reckoner shot, maybe?
Yeah, you got one Reckoner shot because your other two were like either out of control or knocked down and in rough terrain, and so you got one Reckoner shot on me. Rolled pretty good.
I think it was like a 14 or something,
15 or 16.
It's pretty good.
And then managed to get four Zealot bombs on me, and four Zealot bombs
all hit.
Two missed, two hit, and you rolled well enough to break armor 19.
Wait, they missed?
Well, two of them were feeded on by Gorton, so they were -3 rat.
Yeah, okay.
Which, makes it a little
hard.
Yeah,
and then the other two were...
So they were rat 5, effectively? Were you behind a wall?
No. I wasn't behind a wall because I had to use eruption in my feet on that turn to clear off a... Like, the Vindictus list is actually really interesting. I know you're not super fond of the caster, but the the list jams crazy hard and crazy fast.
Yeah, his tier list gets right up there.
Yeah. Also, the problem with the jam list is, like, most casters, they're like, here's this jam, and then you're able to clear it. And he's just like, here's this jam, and if you clear it, your stuff dies.
Right.
Here's something that's really interesting about, not to get too sidetracked, but that particular VinnyD list can put mini-feeted zealots 35 inches onto the board if you go first turn two.
They were in my deployment zone, basically. Or, like, maybe a couple inches out of my
deployment. Yeah, 3 inches out of his deployment is how it works out.
Around me. So, yeah, I had to erupt cloud and then use my feet to drag a bunch of guys through under, like, into the eruption cloud and kill them.
Into the liquid hot magma.
Yeah. Yep.
I like it.
Yep. So that was kind of how that came. And then he had an assassin. I think it was under 50%, but
I think it was under 25%. But we got it. So
did you guys call it a Krieg Conroy? Like
no, first
turn.
No. It was much too high a percentage to go for.
The Krieg Conroy special is specifically a 50-50 coin flip on the top of two or bottom of one.
Okay.
That's specifically the Krieg Conroy special.
Fair enough.
Right.
Fair enough.
I'd have been taking one of those. I should have done the Krieg Conroy special in our game last night.
I know, when I beat you with Testament.
I was playing PKI and Testament's like out hanging and like with one focus on him. Just like, man, should I just double stones PKI and just magic
just
missile him to
it?
Death?
Yeah. Was that a 50-50?
He missed it, though. We rolled the dice because I was like, yeah, give it a shot. And then Kaya was standing out in front of my entire army. I'm like, you want to play again? Why don't you just put your caster back?
I was gonna say, that is the nice thing about Circle, I think, is that you can like scratch that itch and just be like, all this is like a double stones teleport. The rest of my army is staying exactly where it is. So we're just going to see if I kill you. And then if I don't, then we'll play a game.
Yeah. Like, yeah, because if I win, I'm taking credit. But if I lose, it was exactly. Not my actual plan.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I guess before we get too far into discussion about the WTC, was there something you wanted to say, Josh mentioned?
Yes. I wanted to apologize to everyone that was listening to our cast, all our listeners, and specifically to Jason Watt. I made an incorrect statement the other day when we were talking about
Harbinger's Feet.
Harbinger's. Well, we were specifically talking about. I can't remember. I can't remember the whole like conversation that led up to it. But I incorrectly remembered Watt and waiting for Crump to move all his Nis up into the feet and then killing the Nis, which we discussed was not the way that it works. And Watt absolutely didn't do that. And I think I got confused. I went back and rewatched the video, and I think Crump loses like 3 or 4 Nis to the Admonisher, and then he walks 1 Nis into the feet and it dies. Like, and I think somehow in my mind that got confused. And so anyway, I just want to apologize. Like, this cast, it was one of those moments where we were talking about something, and I thought I remembered something, and I mentioned it. And if you're in a group of friends hanging out, like, that's not a big deal. But when it's, like, on a podcast and you mention someone's name, that's calling them out. And that's was not remotely my intention, Watt, and it was not intended to call you out. And I promise our listeners that in the future I will endeavor to do a better job of not doing something like that. It was not intended maliciously in the slightest. And so,
well, I'll say, and not to defend your actions, cause I think you're a jerk, but
right.
No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
It's always good when your buddies have your back. You know,
right.
So.
Well, when you said it, and here's the deal. When you said it, I just rolled with it because you're typically very careful about that kind of thing.
Yeah, usually. Yeah.
So that's not like something you're not. You don't willy nilly throw things out, and then Crump back you up, which I should have known.
Well, this is the thing. Is
I should have known we were screwed at that point.
I also wanted to say that, like, on the forums, Crump got a lot of flack for it. It really should have been me because I'm the one that said it, and I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And Crump doesn't remember when you're playing a game with Crump, and it's top of two, and Crump went second. He doesn't remember what happened in the bottom of one.
This is true. All that matters is what's currently happening.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't matter what happened. It matters where am I going from here.
So,
Crump,
like,
lives in the moment.
Crump just went along with me because, again, like, I usually don't say things that I'm not. And, I, you know, like, at the time, it was an offhanded comment, and it was a brain lapse on my part, and I just didn't even think about the repercussion of saying it.
Right.
And I really want to apologize.
Well, the last thing we want to do is disparage a player.
Absolutely.
I will say for my part, I will try to do a better job of being diligent when I hear those things to make sure, just ask about facts to make sure that we're what we're talking about. I mean, we don't typically do that stuff anyway.
No, it's not like none of us want to use this as like a soapbox for calling people out, except for you and the Scorn players.
That's just turned into a joke. Those guys, you know what? Those guys have earned it because they both got on the forums and they threw me under the bus. So they're going to get both barrels. Like, that's how that works.
But seriously, like, we don't want to, like, none of us want to use this cast as, like, a means to, like, call people out. Like,
or
that's,
personal
that's,
vendettas.
That's
or
never,
tearing
that was never
people
our
down.
Intention. And I apologize to the listeners for not upholding, like, our standards in this regard. And I apologize specifically to Watt for something that came off as very rude. Was never my intention. And I apologize for that.
Seconded.
No, that's true, though. I don't remember crap from
games. I know you don't.
Well, like, because people will walk up to me and they're just like, hey, you remember that game where, like, it was recorded and posted and you did this? And I was just like, yeah, sure. That sounds like something I did. Why not? So, my
bad. That's maybe a bad habit. It's okay to say, no, I have no recollection of you at all. You made zero impression on me. Sorry.
No, not that. People who I haven't played before.
And then John tells them you're not worth knowing.
No. I've never said that to anybody.
Like someone I haven't met before or like haven't played a game against says something based on a like video they've watched.
I understood what you said. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just making a funny.
Alton Ashley's a boss, by the way.
Robot Hunter. That did happen. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about the WTC unless somebody wants to talk about something else exciting.
Football.
Do you want to change your date on your tournament?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Collins' tournament is not on the 28th. Who knew? Collins' been like...
It's a Monday afternoon, everybody.
So...
Take off work.
Awkward. Yeah, no, it's actually on the 26th.
Doesn't
so
that overlap with some convention?
Yeah,
some convention in Rockford, Illinois, which who wants to go to Rockford, Illinois, really?
I don't even know where that
all
is.
All of the Madison people?
It's
south of Madison.
It's by Chicago.
It's all not, the Madison.
It's nowhere near Chicago.
It is the part of Illinois that is not Chicago.
No, it's right by Chicago, just like everything else in Illinois is.
Ah.
Oh, that's so annoying.
Wait,
people that live in Chicago.
Moline is like right next to Chicago.
Like, when I lived in Chicago, I like, lived
in Peoria,
yeah,
Springfield.
Chicago's just a black hole that sucks in all other things.
Like everyone comes from the suburbs and they're like, oh yeah, I live in Chicago. And like you're like, oh cool, have you ever been here? No. Have you ever been? No. Have you ever been? Do you live in Chicago? Well, you know, I mean, it's technically Aurora, but no, that's
not Chicago.
That's like... It's like 2 hours from Chicago. Are you kidding me?
Raygun has a series of shirts that have Illinois, and there's just this big block section that goes almost all the way to the border, and it goes south, and it goes almost to the border, and it just says Chicago.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The rest of it is not Chicago.
Yeah,
and that's just how they label the entire state.
Yeah.
But
Chicago is the worst place on the planet.
It's actually probably one of the best cities in the country.
Like, what?
You guys disagree on something? No way.
They do have some good sports teams.
They have... A ball and aquarium, because I know stuff about fish.
Their aquarium is amazing.
They have amazing
hot
dogs.
It has
amazing.
Nothing to do with
their
the city.
They
have the infrastructure of Chicago, I will agree, is amazing. Number one, the toll roads suck.
Toll roads do suck.
Number two.
That's not Chicago.
Everywhere.
That's Illinois.
Hold on. The people that live in Chicago suck, too, for the most part.
Yep.
That's not my experience.
That's been my experience. For the most part.
Well, that's because you were a person who lived in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You love yourself.
You are the prime example.
When you're driving...
Okay, John has actually never met another person from Chicago.
100% of the Chicago people he knows,
yeah,
he hates their
guts. He's like, Josh is the only person I've ever met from Chicago, so they're terrible. They are terrible. I just want to point out that we mentioned an American city, Chicago... And I didn't say one of the worst cities in the world. I said one of the best. That never happens. So Chicago has to be sweet.
Everybody loves their hometown.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
My hometown is West Des Moines.
It's not sweet.
It's fine.
Average to middling.
And he just proved your entire thesis wrong.
I'm sure you said, I'm from Chicago.
No, I lived in Chicago.
You said from.
You did actually say from.
Harp it.
Win. Give me an episode number. I'm not going to hunt through that.
2 minutes ago.
Well, apparently.
Well, he just said. Oh, okay.
All right. Let's move this into War Machine.
Yeah, we can.
So a really big event happened over in Belgium, and they had, what was it, 32 teams?
32.
32 teams.
Yep, per the roster. The leaderboard.
Yeah.
All right,
all right, let's bring this talk in a little bit and talk about the WTC, which was a huge event that happened in Belgium where 32 countries participated in the World Team Championship.
Don't do it.
Crump, I will kill you.
College, just don't do it.
This is like take number three because Crump can't control himself.
Yeah, he cannot. Wait, no, he cannot keep from talking about cuttable material.
In full honesty, just while we're still on the cuttable material,
don't. Just don't.
Were there any teams that weren't from Europe or America?
I don't think so.
North America or Europe?
Russia?
That's Europe.
No,
Asia.
That's Asia.
Half of Russia is in Europe.
No, Russia is Asia.
Russia is 100% Asia.
Yeah. The Soviet Union was partially in Europe.
It's the same.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. No teach history.
Jesus. Portugal is European.
It's tacked onto the side of Spain.
Russia is the only thing that's outside of... And the USA. That's outside of Europe.
I guess technically Russia is in Asia, but it's pretty much Europe.
It depends on where they came from in Russia.
I'm going to guess probably the place where most Russians live, which is like Moscow West.
Moscow West?
No, like
Moscow and westward. Okay. Because the rest of it is Siberia.
Right.
Right. Right.
Why didn't Canada go?
Actually, because they... I'm going to throw Canada under the bus because they couldn't get their stuff together.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Was
that Bryn?
Yeah, that was Bryn.
Yes! I love you, Bryn.
We love Bryn.
Bryn just was like, meh, screw it. They gave up.
The problem is this first WTC, I think the next one will be bigger and more. It's going to be...
Well, this isn't the first WTC. This is the first WTC that we've taken
part. No. It's the first WTC. There was an ETC called the European Team Championship. Then this is modeled after that, but this was the first inaugural World Team Championship, which is why the United States made it a point to go.
You're sure about that?
I'm 100% sure about that.
All right. Then I misunderstood.
So you're telling me America makes the world?
No. I didn't say that at all.
No, we just wanted to be included. Other teams got invited. Like, other places got invited. They just didn't send...
Nobody got invited. People... were able to petition or to sign up to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's how it worked.
Okay.
So if you wanted a team, basically you submitted a bid to be a team.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, it was limited to 32 teams. After every country got one team, then they opened it up for bids for a second team, and they did that. I think the committee selected based on like population and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Gross domestic
product. It's a
little
bit like Olympic committee kind of.
Yeah, very similar.
In the way the decision that they made.
Yeah, so and I think the United States was pretty much on the top of the list to get a second team because geographically speaking, we're pretty big compared to most of the European countries.
Right,
so,
naturally.
I mean, that's just it. I mean, Wales had a team, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Ireland had a
team. Whoa. What's that supposed to mean, John?
They're just very small. It's
Wales is a very small section of the UK.
Right.
It was a small section.
I mean, England had two teams?
That's all it meant. That's all it was just about population.
Did England have two?
England had two teams. England had a prime.
And then Wales and then Scotland.
Finland had a couple. Denmark had a couple.
Yeah. I hope Irish teams, there are more of them in the future.
Yeah, the Irish teams are pretty sweet.
As long as they continue to be anonymous, that's all I care about.
It would have been amazing if day one of WTC they just showed up with like bags on their heads, so no one knew who they were. Like just went anonymous in real life.
Well, I saw some of the photos that gave Keith a giant leprechaun hat.
Did they?
And he was walking around with it. Yeah,
I believe it.
Yeah,
I believe it. anywho, congratulations to Team Poland Red.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're the team that took the whole thing down, and this is quite an accomplishment because you're talking about every country sending 5 or 10. Of their best players, presumably, to compete in one tournament. So it's like playing in a Masters field of 160 people or whatever it is.
Right.
Which is kind of a lot when you think about it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. This is tough competition.
Very tough.
It's definitely something to be proud of.
Do you want to talk about their team?
Champion.
Yeah, let's start out and talk about... I think it's interesting that Team Poland won. I'm sure we'll be exploring this through the weeks to come because there's a lot of information to talk about. If you go to www.wmh-wtc.com, you can find a lot of the information that we're looking at today, but it has all the results, including rounds won, strength of schedule, games won, etc. A couple of interesting things I wanted to point out. Team Poland won, but they only won 16 games with their team. Which is pretty good because you need a minimum of 15 to win, which means a lot of their rounds were won 3-2.
Or 3-2 rounds, yeah.
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 Yeah. Which to me says that they had a really good strategy for
getting those three wins.
Those three wins, yeah, et cetera. For example, United States Blue, they only won 4 rounds, but they won 18 of their games. So they...
It was either dominate or get dominated for
right,
all intents and purposes.
Basically, so, yeah. So it's just interesting to look at to see if what strategy sort of maybe came into play. Like Sweden, again, Sweden got third, and they won 16 games.
Prime Sweden.
Yes. Yep.
Because there were 2 Sweden teams.
Correct. Correct. And then, yep. So that was kind of how that worked. But it's interesting looking at the Polish team, and a comment that I heard from somebody, and I can't remember who I was talking to. I think it might have been Modlin. He said he felt like the American team was caught off guard a little bit by the aggressive play of the Polish. They apparently come very hard after your caster. And then I think I saw a comment made by one of the Irish guys when they were talking to Keith about how many games Keith won while he was over there by assassination, which is not the norm in the American meta.
No, it's not. And I was surprised seeing that coming in on the feed, the number of times that it said Keith Christensen defeats so-and-so by caster kill, because Keith never... Like, he will look at the game and never play for caster kill ever. Like, when he can take a caster kill, he just continues to try and dominate. Like, that's his general... I mean,
isn't that why he took Epic Denegra for Scenario?
Yeah, I think he expected he would win a lot of games on Scenario, but he ended up having to kill their casters because their casters were in places where he either kills them or they kill him. Right, so, right. I mean, again, we'll talk more about it with Keith when he gets back, but I think it's an interesting, at least from the perspective of what the Polish team was trying to accomplish, they were very aggressive in what they were trying to do, at least. And again, I had a very brief conversation.
Right.
So it's not like I had details or was there or watched or saw any videos or anything like that. This is all hearsay at this point. but I thought it was interesting because then when you look at their lists, which I'm going to pull up now.
Should we go down them?
Man, wait. Yeah. Is one of the guys on Polish Red one of the guys whose name I utterly butchered intentionally that
probably
one time?
Probably.
Yeah, it's the team that has that Karchev player on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's not that guy.
Oh, okay.
Well, you want me to get on the list from the start
of the
website?
Yeah, just get on the list.
Michael Kunizzi. Yeah, I'm probably screwing this up. He was playing...
As an aside,
yeah,
these are sort of English names, but do they love to butcher the use of consonants?
Yeah. Konexny.
Wait.
He was playing Circle. He had Morvana 2 and Baldur 2.
Okay. That's an unusual pairing.
Yeah. I actually like Baldur 2 a lot. I'm glad to see someone pairing him with a really power caster like Morvana 2. Do you want me to read the whole list off?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Morvana 2 with Warp World Stalker and Gorax. Warborn Skinwalkers Maximum plus Alpha.
Yep.
Wolves of Orboros Max with the UA. Tharn Wolf Riders Max, which is their cav.
Sure.
Shifting Stones, double with Stonekeeper. Gatorman Witch Doctor, Warwolf, Two Groves, and the Bellows Crew.
Interesting. So something that jumps out at me is that there is a Gatorman Witch Doctor in that list.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's for the Wolves.
No, it's...
Or is it for the Riders?
It's essential for the Mirror. If you get stuck in a Morvana 2 versus
sure,
Morvana 2 matchup.
It's not just the Mirror.
It's not just the Mirror. It's good for
actually,
a lot of things.
It's actually incredible. Keith's been using the Witch Doctor when he's been playing Morvana, and it actually adds so much because she's already an attrition monster to begin mm-hmm. with due to her feat. So the Witch Doctor adding tough rolls can be extremely frustrating on top of that. Like, when you know that you have to wipe out a whole unit,
yeah,
and then that unit also, like, in a turn to get rid of them permanently, and then that unit happens to be tough, that's a bonus. Like, command checks, also a problem. And also the fact that he turns them undead makes them immune to several of the remove from play
right,
as well.
Like Carnivore, right. Snacking.
Right. Press Gang Ball.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of things sure, that would normally RFP, which is really bad for her, obviously, because she wants to feed those back into
right,
play. So I think that was really smart. A really interesting thing was the Wolf Riders.
Talking about that pre-episode, how great that is with the Scales of Fate. And just giving them multiple attack rolls yeah, to where those women will just never miss.
Well, it's interesting. It's not a unit that I had considered with Morvana 2, but the more I think about it, I think it's actually pretty smart.
I had...
She can't feed them back, right? Or can she?
She can.
She sure can.
She can? I don't know if she couldn't feed back large base models. Nope, is it specifically warrior models? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's non-character warrior
models.
Models.
Okay.
If they're a unit, they have to be placed in formation.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of risk with that unit because
There's
only five of them, and they are... fairly lightly armored, so they can like you can kill them with boosted blast damage.
You can kill the whole unit. That's
And so if I was playing against this list, that would be my plan: get rid of those guys.
Yeah.
But like Lance was referring to, luck plus a reroll from Scales of Fate makes their assassination really, 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 really likely.
What's the pow on their range attack?
It's pow 9 with weapon master.
But it's
11.
Weapon master. It's blood trackers on wolves. Yeah.
Right. And they also have prey. So it goes to pow 11.
It's the exact
right?
same as
9 to 11.
So 11 weapon master range attacks that are really hard to stop.
Range 8 on it, I assume. Or range 6, whatever the blood trackers are. Seven.
Yeah, it's range 7, speed 9.
The speed
9. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They also have assault.
Okay.
Yep.
Worth mentioning.
Yeah, absolutely.
It absolutely is. So, I mean, if you... Now, I'm coloring this a little bit because we haven't really talked about this a lot, but if you're going to play an aggressive style and get in your opponent's face and you're going for a caster assassination or at least putting pressure on their caster, Wolf Riders are actually a really good choice.
Sure.
For that purpose.
Sure.
I just need one back. Anything else on the Morvana one before we go to the Baldur list?
Pretty standard. I see Warpal Stalker Gorax. That's a pretty standard beast loadout. Skinwalkers are in every Morvana list I've seen.
They probably should.
Here's why I like. Before we move off from the Wolf Riders, Keith, I borrowed his Morvana list the other day when I just got back in a circle because I didn't bring my circle stuff with me to the shop, and he asked me for my thoughts on his list. And I said it seems like a perfectly solid list. However, I'm not sold on Blood Trackers with her yet because they're bananas with her because she does a lot for them. But Blood Trackers are such a good unit in Circle that they do a lot for casters that don't necessarily do anything for them. For example, Epic Kaya, it helps solve the infantry swarm problem.
Sure.
Peaker returns them, like, on all the way, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
So you're saying that you're weakening your list pair potentially.
Right, which Keith doesn't give a crap about because he's taking her for Iron Gauntlet.
I don't think he's told anyone that yet.
Lance, cut that out.
This
podcast is going to be so much goddamn work.
You don't need to cut it out because Jim Tech Revenge.
All right.
Boom.
You're welcome, Jim.
Lance, Keith, I tried to save you.
Just change it to which Keith doesn't care about.
So you want me to throw Crump under the bus, is what you're saying?
Blood Trackers do more for other Circle casters than they do for Morvana, and Keith was playing them solely with Morvana because he doesn't really care about the other Circle casters as much. So I was looking for something else to put into the list as an option.
Can I challenge this notion for a moment? What, other than Nula, what prevents you from taking Blood Trackers in both lists?
Nothing, that's it. Right? Yeah. You'd be surprised at the amount of work they get done with Quick Work.
Yeah.
Like it. And the Reform.
Oh, they don't have Quick Work without Nula? I thought they just got Reform.
They have Tactics, Quick Work, and Reform. Granted, Reform.
That's actually, both of those things are really, really good.
Okay. Yeah. Right, like, of character restrictions, that's the one that hurts the most in Circle. Yeah. Like, it's not Gatorix. Like, screw that guy.
Yeah, it's Nula. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So
Gatorix does hurt, but...
Yeah, but I mean, like, I used to have Warpal Stalkers. I'll just play another Warpal Stalker instead of a Gatorix.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that's... I need to test without, but I was looking for something else to replace for 10 points, and so I tried Wolf Riders. I played a really janky list against you.
Yeah.
I just played the Theme Force because the Theme Force had Wolf Riders in it because I just wanted to try them out to see how they felt, but I think they have a lot of potential with her. Like Lightcav with those keeps them pretty safe, and the problem that has traditionally been for them is that they lost stealth when they jump on horses. But she gives
wolves.
Them
wolves.
Or, yeah, whatever. When they jump on horse riders. Darn horse riders. No.
Wolf
riders.
No, anyway, finish when they...
But Fog of War helps mitigate that.
Do they have camouflage?
No.
They go to...
It's just they go to depth 17.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Space,
yeah
no, I think it's an interesting inclusion. It's not one I'd considered, so...
Yeah. It's very interesting. The Baldur 2 list is Baldur 2, Megalith, Gedorix, Feral, World Watcher, Gorax... Stone, double stones with the UA, one Grove, and then a Celestial Fulcrum.
Celestial Fulcrum, interesting.
Yep. It's actually pretty good with him because with Roots of the Earth, it's very durable. And I wonder.
I said arm 21 with Roots of Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually wonder if this isn't a skew just to screw with Legion, because I'm pretty sure this list would be really hard on Legion.
I'm just.
You don't like Legion matchups in general, I think.
No. It's not that. I've been trying to wrap my brain around Epic Balder lately,
mm-hmm.
and like, I just hate him in scenario. Like, he wants the brick, and that list does not have very many models to contest with.
But the models are
like opposing zones, so you couldn't like drop him in those scenarios,
right?
Okay. Right, like there's nothing that can get across the board except for like a heavy.
Right. Although a Feral or a Getarix both tank really well with Roots of the Earth. Like, they're very difficult to remove.
Yeah, no, that caster is probably my favorite caster for Getarix, if not. Him and Epic High are very close to one another.
Yeah, but I mean, I can just imagine, like, Epic Veil running into this list and basically crying because, like, she can't do anything.
She can purify Roots of the Earth.
No,
it's not an upkeep.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
It's also
that.
Spammable.
Yeah, I totally
and he has a total feat turn of having everything with
it. Yeah, on his feet.
Yeah, I knew his feet applied it.
She doesn't have a damage buff, so they cap out. I mean, they do have some armor pierce, so that'll help.
It doesn't really help when, like, Getarix goes from armor 17 down to, what, 9?
Yeah.
Then up to 14.
Yeah.
So Angelius armor pierce is just straight dice.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the Angelius dies.
Yeah.
Like, the Angelius is like, yeah! By an attack at, like, dice minus 9. And then Getarix is just like, bonk.
You better hope that Angelius doesn't miss that 3 dice to the 8 either. That's a nightmare as well.
So, whoops. Ferals have the same situation. They go from 16 to 8, then up to 13, so dice plus 1.
Yeah.
Because of how their modifications work out.
Sure.
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, I definitely, like, you and I was talking to you the other day about playing an Epic Balder Feral spam.
Yeah.
And just playing, like,
Warp for Armor,
4 Ferals. Yeah. Or, like, 3 Ferals and Getarix. Just being like, hey,
well, the thing is, I think the reason why Megalith and the World Watcher are in there is so that they can put more roots out easier.
No, that's a World Watcher. That's the 5.1.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Plus 4.
The reason why
Walter spam.
Yeah.
The little.
That's not the World Guardian. No.
Does he have
the World Warden?
The World Warden. Whatever.
Yeah.
Is that the one that has Shield Guard?
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, it is.
And Stoneform.
And
right?
Stoneform. Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that list a lot, and I think it's an interesting list in that it's going to force your opponent's hand a little bit. Because it's an armor skew, so you're going to be able to tell what you're going to be playing against.
Yeah,
I mean, the likelihood, right, is that this is set up to
WTC
to force his opponent. Yeah, like, well, but WTC, it forces his opponent to take like a lower model count army, most likely than a higher model count army in general, and then Morvana just eats that list, right?
Sure. Yeah. What's interesting about this list pair, and this is something you can get away with when you're doing WTC style stuff. I think it's pretty weak to critics. So they have
that
to
pairing?
They have to dodge.
I haven't watched Keith play Morvana enough against Krix or seen Morvana played against Krix enough to know how I feel.
I don't like. I think it's better than people give it credit for.
Yeah.
I think at best it's 50-50.
It depends on what Krix caster it is.
Yeah, and also depends on what's in the Morvana list. Anyway, sure. just my thoughts. All right, let's move on to Marcin Mysek.
Yep, he's playing Kador. His first list
this
is...
This guy's world famous, by the way, for his Karchev list.
Is he really? Oh, yeah, because the one we talked... Yeah, he's been on a couple of the podcasts.
Yeah, everybody has talked about this list.
So. But his... You want me to start with that one?
If you want. I mean, we've talked about it, but go ahead.
Sure, Karchev. Behemoth, Spriggan, Silas is battle group. Alexia with the Risen. Min Assault Commandos with the 3 Flamethrowers. Min Battle Mechanics. Epic Iris. Iron Fang Kovnik, and Dirty Meg with the Mule Marshaled.
Like you said, we've talked about this list already. I think, I believe he played the list one time on the day and lost that round. I think...
Although, I've heard that he just ran out of time.
And had the chance to win it.
Yeah.
If he hadn't run out of time.
It was a competitive game.
I mean, that's certainly... I have no doubt it was probably competitive. Like, all these guys obviously are talented players. I think the list was designed as some sort of skew Hail Mary list opposite... his other list, and I don't know that I would read too much into...
You know the other thing I think maybe these guys did
what?
In looking at their lists? I think they put not... I don't know that they put this much thought into it, but I wonder if they didn't put things into their list just to make you think, like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly possible.
I think he built this list so that all of the podcasts would talk about how weird this list was, so he'd become world famous.
Well done, Marcin.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think there's definitely a possibility here, you know, like that there's one list that they all want to play. Right?
Yeah.
Like the Morvana player just wants to play Morvana.
Right.
This guy wants to play, is it Baldur?
No, Butcher he wants to play a Butcher 2.
Butcher 2. And so they've got this other list that does.
Here's another thought. Like you said, it's a Hail Mary.
Right.
What if, like, he's the guy they put forward to get, like, pounced on?
Right.
We're just like, all right, maybe you'll just pull one out of your butt and kill their caster, right, and then we'll be way up.
Yep,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting strategy, too, for the WTC. Yep. So
yeah, his list was Butcher 2, Tier 3, and it was Devastator, so just the Clamjack was his only battle group. Doomreavers with the Escort, then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 extra Doomreaver units, Fenris and Yuri the Axe.
Needs more Doomreavers.
I don't think you can put any more in that.
He can't.
You could cut UAs for more Doomreavers.
You can cut 2, 2, 4. He'd have to bring the Devastator down to a Juggernaut. For 7, he could put in another unit.
Yeah, what's the? That'd be you the can have,
you I'm
have,
saying you can always play more Doom Reavers.
You could have 50.
You could have a lot,
six or something, in like the tier list. Like you can get them in there.
Forget how many?
An insane number.
Yeah. It's interesting that.
And then drop Fenris and Yuri. And
you can keep. You want to keep that guy because he gives you plus one to your starting roll.
You know
and
that
when you're playing 50 Doom Reavers, you really want to
go first.
Interestingly enough, both of these. This Karchev list and this Butcher 2 list both have really good assassination attempts, like like crazy stuff. So I think maybe it was your strategy to throw this guy forward and just be like bait. Like, okay, you're probably going to get a bad matchup, so you just got to go for the caster kill.
Yeah. Well, and you said that caster kill aggressive play is more the style from the rumors that we've been
hearing. Yeah. I mean, so, I can't confirm that. It's not really watching games.
My God, Chris should move to Poland.
Yeah, he'd be amazing there, right? It's interesting.
Craig Conroy definitely fit in.
Craig Conroy.
Right? I know. How many times do we yell at Craig? No more specials.
Yeah. Turns out he should have been taking the specials all day long.
Maybe so. Maybe it'll force people to reevaluate assassinations. Because I know on the national convention scene in the United States, and it's not the be-all, end-all by any means, but what I have experience with, it's very attrition-focused.
Right.
It's just how it's played.
Well, maybe it's been discussed 1,000 times, but it's why take a gamble on something if it can blow back on you 30% of the time if you think you'll win the game eventually?
Maybe we're not embracing the motto of the game.
The spirit of
Americans progress. Are no longer playing like they have a pair.
Perhaps.
Could be.
Perhaps.
Well, I can't speak for you guys.
Which is why we got second.
Could be.
And fourth.
God, those are the two worst numbers. As my daddy always said, if you ain't first, you're last.
Boom.
Thanks, Ricky.
Is that true? There's second?
Are we having anything else on?
I don't have anything else. Should we move on to...
Yeah. Michael, the weird thing is he's the same name as the other guy, except for with an N-A at the beginning of his last name.
They all end in Czech. So just be like, Kinsey, Michael...
Michael Nikon... Yeah, Kenzie. He was playing Legion. His two lists, one was, it's Veil 2.
And Saren?
And Saren, yep.
Whoa!
Veil 2, Tier 4. Had 3 Angeliuses, 2 Ravagors, and a Shredder. Blighted List Engineers Max, Spawning Vessel Max, Blighted Nest Shepherds, 2 of them, and a Spell Martyr.
That list cool. often pretty much builds itself. There's
no Scythian?
No Scythian.
Nope, on that one. Mm.
Three Angels is
pretty
strong, though.
Yep. And then the Saren list is double Angelius, double Scythian, and a Shredder. Bloodedness, Hex Hunters Max, 2 Forsakens, a Spell Martyr, Gatorman Witch Doctor, and the Gobbler's Bellows Crew.
Interesting that he put the Witch Doctor in for the Hex Hunters.
Yeah. I mean, those are the ones with Battle Wizard and everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're
that's
good.
That's a unit that is not utilized very much
Hexers.
Over here.
Do you think he should use it for the Legionnaires more, or would that have been a better use of...
No, I'm just... It's a fairly sizable investment, 3 points, for an 8-point unit with no UA. And
there's no Bale?
No, and there's no other targets. There's no other targets for. Yeah,
there's no other unit in there.
There's nothing else for them to.
It's
to
not
witch
model
dock.
Unit, right? You're like you can't witch dock your caster.
No, it's just right? It's just unit. Yeah, he's tough and undead. Bizo.
Weird. I feel like I might have taken bail over that guy.
Maybe
that's me.
I mean,
I would because that guy's sweet.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I think hex hunters are an interesting choice because it definitely shores up. I mean, obviously, Saren is your Crix matchup. And there are some things in Crix that will bother you if you don't have magic weapons.
Right.
So that's a big help.
Wait, do they not
aren't they
have
magic,
battle
aren't they only magic ability without... 6, though?
They are, but that's plenty.
Against 13s and 14s? I guess 13s is what you really care about.
Yeah, I mean, they can't attack you for a turn. And then you're mat 7, I think. So...
Mm. Yeah. Seems all right.
I'm just trying to remember.
They have magic
if
weapon
they
weapons too. Besides
spells. Oh, they do. I thought it was just their spells.
No, they're
their daggers.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're basically battle mages that just charge in, stab, and then they cast spells.
Do they actually have battle wizard, or is that only with what's his face? I'm checking really quick because I'm trying to remember what he actually gives them.
I'm pretty sure they have it all the time.
So what's another thing that's kind of interesting about this? Going back to Veil 2, this Veil 2 list, and again, there's not a lot of. Variation in her theme force, but what I'm seeing out of this list is there's a lot of assassination vectors in that all of the angels have boostable guns, the Ravagors have a boostable gun, and then the vessel is sneaky good for assassinating people.
Sure.
Popping out a stinger and getting a charge off on somebody.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then obviously you have the double oblit, so you can do things like, you know, shot, double oblit, stinger to the face, like, and there's a lot of that's a lot to stop,
right? No, for sure.
Especially, I mean, if this list comes screaming across the table at you, a lot of times we see Epic Veil played very cat and mousey, you know,
right?
Faint forward, back up,
yeah,
you know, bloody your nose a little bit, jab you, and then come in for the punch.
Right.
So, I could see where if somebody was like, okay, I'm putting all these threat vectors right at your caster, deal with it, good luck. It's just, it's a different way to play, and I can see how it might catch some Americans off guard a little bit.
Sure.
That's pretty different than the way Jake plays her, right? Jake plays her the cat and mouse way you're talking about.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, that's another interesting point, is that just because lists look similar to lists that we've seen before doesn't mean that the player is going to play them in a way that you're all familiar with.
Right.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm framing this based on just a couple comments. And
just conjecture. Like, it may turn out it's not the case. But
right. I mean, it'll be really interesting when Keith and Chad come back and start telling us how wrong we are.
Right.
They're not coming back.
No, they're coming back. We're just never going to ever speak to them again.
We're sending them to Guantanamo.
Hey, you know what? I'm proud of those guys. They did awesome.
We can't waterboard them anymore, though.
They did awesome.
We just have to, like, treat them nice. That's how people get to...
I'm very proud of those guys. They did really well. I don't think...
The line must be drawn. I
don't think it's a reasonable expectation to say, I think they should have done better than second and fourth in the world. Like, think about that for a minute. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I think we all know that's really good.
Yeah.
But... I was just giving them crap because they're my friends.
Kai, why are you ruining my fun?
Can you imagine what it would have been like if the Miracle on Ice team lost to the communists?
There'd be no. It wouldn't be called the Miracle on Ice.
Exactly. The world would be drastically different.
We would be
Americans don't lose, John.
We would be a Soviet country.
We would. We would be communist. War Machine very well may not exist.
Already are a Soviet country.
What the hell is going on?
And War Machine.
All right. So the next player?
Yes. I knew I would get under the political science major's skin over there.
Yeah.
So. He's biting his tongue. Ah, this is somebody after my own heart. Tomek Tutaj.
Yes.
Was playing Krios 3 and High Reclaimer.
Yep.
And I actually really like... I was actually really evaluating his High Reclaimer list because it's a little bit different than things that I've done. And he did some things to address problems. Like, one of the major problems that I have with High Reclaimer is I want to put down 5 clouds right away. So to run, like, a speed 4 jack, like a Vanquisher, kind of rough. Because it only walks 4, but if you feed it a focus to run, then you're only putting down 4 clouds. So it's sort of hit and miss. But the nice thing about the Vanquisher is once it's in position, it never really needs focus to do its job. Because it can just... drop a 4-inch pie plate that causes fire every turn, And then if you have a vassal, it's two of those without ever needing a point of focus given to it. So the High Reclaimer continued to cloud. So in thinking about it, that's actually pretty smart if you can get it in position.
It's only 10 inches of range on it, right?
So right.
What's his list?
Well, let's go through it.
Which one do you want to go first? High Reclaimer? Let's do High Reclaimer. It's Vanquisher and Hierophant. This is his battle group. Exemplar Bastions, max. Adrian Skirmishers, minimum with the UA. Temple Flame Guard, max with the UA. Rovan and Company, Choir, Epic Iris, Knight Exemplar, Seneschal, the Book, Gorman, and Rupert.
So you can still put five clouds down on turn one.
Yeah, because that's the thing I was going to get to.
Hierophant.
Yeah, because I didn't
Vassal and Rax as well. I'm sorry.
I didn't get to that. Yeah, he also has Rax. So he has the Rax and he has the Hierophant, which is good. Also, I see that this list has a lot of assassination vectors potentially. Feeding back Idrian Skirmishers, pretty deadly to casters in general.
They're prayed.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. And I don't know what he prays, but he has Iris for stripping focus. He's got Gorman DeWolf for black oil. So he's got a lot of things that are really annoying pieces that you can protect with the clouds,
right?
Which I really like. Right. The minimum Indrians plus Chieftain and Guide is interesting because that's a really good feat target. Another thing that's really interesting is, did you say he's got Rovan and Co. on this list?
Yep.
He does. So you can feat back Cassius and what's his nuts? The two bodyguards. And those guys are Mad 8 Howl 11 Weapon Masters. So if one of them gets killed, it activates a battle driven for the unit, which means they get plus two strength. Yes. And then you feat one back. And now you can charge him wherever as a Mad 8 Powell 13 Weapon Master.
Does he get battle driven if he's not in play when battle driven triggers? Are you sure that happens?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, actually, I know that happens because it works with Testament and Reviving Vengers.
Okay.
Because so all that triggers that
that's
interesting. So it's a pretty interesting interaction, and one that I hadn't. I'd consider that a little bit because I actually play Rovan and Co. with the Avatar, so I can gaze through my own clouds, which is pretty cool too.
Yeah.
But I figured it also has a side benefit of something else to feed back. So you could, instead of doing the two units of Bastions, which he's done, he's only playing one unit of Bastions. He's got the two Rovan and Co. guys to feed back as well. So if you want to feed back that heavy.
Does he have a Seneschal on that list as well?
Yes.
Okay. No, not the Bastion Seneschal. Sorry.
Knight Exemplar.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The guy that comes back to life.
Not the Bastion one.
And the guy that cannot get removed from a scenario zone for a turn, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a very well-designed list, and I really like a lot of the thought that went into it. And again, it's got a lot of stuff in it that's going to make you look at it and have to think, like, okay, what's he doing with this, and what's he doing with that? I mean, it's...
Minadrian Skirmishers with UA is still 8 guns, right? So that's still a decent output of...
Because
I've thought about taking that combination before with some of my Magnus lists, just because I like Adrian's, but they're so expensive.
Yeah, 13 is a big commitment.
It is.
You're pretty pot committed at that point.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of funny with placeable clouds in that they have camouflage. So, you know, if they tow into a cloud or have to be in a cloud, it's not the end of the world because they're def 17 versus shooting. He can feed them back. They're a good high value target to feed back. So it gives him some list flexibility because he can feed back Adrian's if he needs more guns, or he can feed back Bastions if he needs more power. You know, it just sort of depends.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, and his Krios 3 list is Double Reckoner, and is his battle group. Avatar's in there, Zealots, Max Zealots with Monolith Bearer, Max Flame Guard with the UA, Ionon Holt, the Sunburst Crew, Choir again, Minimum this time, Vassal of Menoth, and Rax.
He's got Flame Guard and UA in both lists, right? Max Flame Guard and UA in both lists?
Yes, he does.
Do you think they're just a general, like, jam up unit? Do you think that's how he's using them?
I'm sure. They're a good tar pit.
It's interesting that he has them and the Zealots on the Krios 3 list then.
Yeah, the nice thing about them is Holy Ward can go on them and the Zealots can be Spell Immune, giving you a lot of non-excarnatable targets for the Krix matchup with
the
Sixes.
Rovan in the other list. You think this is his Krix matchup?
I'm not sure. I think both these lists can play against Krix probably fine. Truthfully.
Yeah.
So, but he does have Ionon Holt in this list, which is really good because Magic Weapon, you know, he's not playing any errants anywhere. So he's actually a little susceptible to the lack of Magic Weapons if you think about it.
Yeah, that's for sure, actually.
Yeah.
That's actually a good point. That's really unusual.
No, no ion and Holt?
No, it's got ion and Holt in the Kreostery list, which is what makes me think that that's his Crix matchup. Because, actually, Holy Word and TFG are a huge problem for Crix.
Are they?
Yeah. Because they can't debuff them. And
are they deaf? I thought they were deaf 12, though.
They're deaf 13.
They are 13, and then they have set defense.
They have set defense, okay.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Yep. I also like to take Rupert with him to pipe plus one defense and terror.
Yeah, sure.
And their UA gives terror, too. So against Crix, a lot of times, like, he doesn't have Rupert in this list, but they charge in with Satixus Raiders. They take Satixus Raider charges like a boss.
Yeah.
Because you're like, all right, well, they're def 17.
Yeah.
Enjoy your 11s to hit. Oh, please give me a terror check before you get to make a single attack roll.
How do they get to def 17?
Def 13.
Def 13 plus two for set defense.
15. Yes, plus two for Holy Ward.
Oh, Holy Ward. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For some, I was thinking Banishing Ward, not Holy Ward.
No, Holy Ward. Yeah. Okay. Plus two defense and can't be targeted.
Yep.
The better one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Manoth version. Yeah, you always have the better version of this class. It's just
my bad.
Wait. Before someone says, no, it's not always better, Banishing Ward does remove upkeeps that were previously on your unit.
That's true.
Yep.
Holy Ward does not.
Still like Holy
Ward.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah. It's so clearly the better one.
And you want your last player?
No. I want to talk about a couple things in this Kreos 3 list that are kind of interesting. Sunburst Crew is not something that we see very often.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even hear you say that.
Yeah, but it's
that's a what's on the trigger?
It's the light artillery for Menoth.
Yeah, I know.
It's a 4-inch AoE, basically Rat 7, POW 14.
Crit fire?
I don't think it matters. It may be. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, check.
But I think the purpose in this list is as an enabler for Warpath. It's pretty perfect for triggering Warpath.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it costs 3 points for a Warpath model.
Yeah. And it also does work. Like, I actually...
How many points is it?
3 points. It's three range.
How many points?
Range 16, POW 16, AoE 4, RAT 7, minus... No, it doesn't have the...
How many points is the light jack that has the three
it's
rocket
six.
Shots?
Six.
It's six? Okay.
Yeah. All right. I really like a Redeemer in general over the Sunburst Crew, but if you don't want to spend the focus to run it...
Sure.
Also, if you want to be more accurate...
Yeah, the Redeemer is more accurate. Yeah.
The Redeemer is more accurate.
No.
They both have
the one up to, like...
No, they do not both have the inaccurate rule.
The they don't?
No, but the Redeemer is more accurate when you need it to be because you can aim.
Yeah. Right.
It gets to rat 5 with choir.
No, I'm just talking about the rat
and
stats.
And you get a boot. You get a boost. So the Redeemer is actually more accurate.
Wait, did you say you got to rat 9 with choir?
Rat 5 plus a boost versus rat 7. So you're a little more accurate.
Yep.
And you have boostable damage and boostable blast damage, which is also situationally useful. And they're the same power blast damage, POW 8. So
3-inch template versus 4-inch template, though, as well.
So, yep. Yeah. 3 shots versus 1.
Right.
So, well, twice as many points, too. So, yeah. I can see it. Also, a little bit sturdier. It's on a light jack chassis.
But there's no scenarios giving boosted damage rolls to a light jack.
That's true.
Fair enough.
That's true.
Touche. Thank you, Steamroller 2013.
But yeah, I think this is an interesting list. Double Reckoner is an interesting choice. Although warpathing two Reckoners into position to shoot your caster is a thing.
It's just the two of the best jack.
It's good. Yeah. I also think it's interesting that he has the Avatar in the list. It's not something... Best. I mean, the Avatar...
Since it doesn't really benefit from anything that
Kreos 3
does, right?
It triggers Warpath pretty good.
Well, I mean, yeah, of course. It's just good, but it just doesn't do anything other than be the Avatar for Kreos.
Right. Does he
has Ignite, right? So it, like, hits harder than...
I guess you can kill a Colossal. Yeah. You can give it rerolls, too, in case it misses with its mat 10s, so... Pretty good death sentence.
Dude, when your Avatar misses with its mat 10s, you want to blow your brains out.
Yeah. But my favorite thing about the Avatar is when you say to a person, I'm double ones and I miss and I'm dice plus 4 damage. And they're like, excuse me?
Yep. And my favorite thing about the Avatar as a circle player is that even if it only rolls up 2 focus, it still kills. Charging a Warp Wolf Stalker, it still kills it on straight average dice.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Not the walk up. Punch, bye-bye.
Yeah, it's probably pretty hard to keep your Warp Wolf Stalker away from an Avatar.
Sometimes.
Fair enough. It has a pretty wildly unpredictable threat range.
There are casters where that make it 12.
Yeah. There's also Warpath that exists.
Harbinger of
Warpath
Menoth.
Warpath doesn't work on the Avatar.
Damn. Yeah.
Harbinger of Menoth. Bajow. She makes it a 12.
She does.
It's also interesting that there's no Harbinger in his pair. So.
Crusader's Call.
Oh, right. Crusader's Call.
That's actually pretty freaking much a blowout against me. Because, like, my soccer's always end up being, like, just a little over 10 away from the Avatar. Yeah. And then I'm just like, oh, Harby.
Yeah, 12-inch threat's a lot different than 10.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's a big deal. Yeah. That's like, one of the things that makes Fiora 2 really good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about their last player, who is, sad to say, a Krix player.
Andrezj.
What a surprise.
Andrezj. Kusowitz.
Yeah, that sounds
cool. Lance, we have to send you, like, foreign school.
No, the correct way to do this is just to tell everyone you're going to key in channel key and peel, and then just do the worst possible enunciations of their names.
Aaron.
Jaqueline. Nice. He had Scar 1, and I believe that Lich Lord of Sixes is Gatsby 2, right?
Dose.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so Scar 1 has Deathripper, Helldiver, Scarlock Thrall as a battle group. Soul Hunters Max, Satixis Raiders Max with Sea Witch, Blood Witches with Hag, Min, Blood Witches with Hag. Bane Knights Maximum, Necrosurgeon and Stitch Thralls, Derek Wraith, Banelord Tartarus, and the Raider Captain.
Only one Necrosurgeon?
Only one.
There's no
Mechanithral. There's no Mechanithral. It's just to heal.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
It's just to heal her back from her feet.
I actually kind of love this list.
I like Soul Hunters.
I do too. I don't know why more people don't play them with her. And the reason being is, and this is actually really smart, it's hard to get super good use out of Scar's feet turn because you sort of crash into the front lines and then you're done. Like, you can't dig really deep because she doesn't have Ghost Walk. So she can't go by everything and kill everything. Well, Soul Hunter's getting corporal, charge through the front lines and kill everything behind the front lines.
With their power 18s.
Yeah. And then you're now jammed with these guys that are like armor 19?
They're 14 to 14, 15, so they go to 14, 20.
Yeah. So they're 14, 20 jamming your stuff after they've killed everything they touched. Mm. And then all of your other stuff charges in behind Scar or behind the Soul Hunters and clears everything out. So you get more damage out of the feat turn and you're jammed by stuff that's a lot harder to get rid of.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a very aggressive way to play.
Also, you can jam them further because you can, like, after you've killed that stuff with the Soul Hunters, they get to light cap farther forward.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is kind of good.
Although, the other thing that's really cool is if you think about Soul Hunters, they have reach and they're a large base.
Well, they do have reach. I didn't realize they had reach.
They do. And so, if you think about Scar's feet, it is extending the range of the effectiveness of her feet because you're ranging out from her control area by a large base and then reach on top of that.
Sure.
So, it's kind of a big deal.
About like 2 inches.
Yeah, a little bit. So you just get a little bit more out of the feet. You know, that's all. A little bit more out of Dark Titans.
I've been trying to convince Fox to get Soul Hunters.
More out of Dark Titans.
No one plays Soul Hunters.
Boostable guns are a thing. So you kind of have to be careful. Investing in cavalry is a high risk, high reward proposition often.
Absolutely.
So like sometimes you're like, these guys are great. And other times you're like, well, I got 3 of them shot off the board in the first turn or second turn or whatever, and like, I didn't get to do anything with them.
Right.
So just sort of what you're playing depends on what you're playing against. But.
Okay.
But I really like the list. I mean, obviously, it's very fast. Satixis Raiders, Blood Witches, Soul Hunters. So that's speed 9, speed 7, speed 7. And then a full unit of Bane Knights. This is really interesting to me. He's got Tartarus with Scar and not with Lich 2.
It's because he's a character. Can't feed him back. He's garbage.
Yeah, particularly when Scar has Dark Guidance.
Right?
Why? I think it's just wants the extra threat range.
I think it's for threat range. I mean, that's a big deal.
Sure.
I mean, 2 inches of threat is a big deal.
It's a big deal, but particularly they're a second they're a second line unit in this list for sure.
Right.
Like, well, for sure they're a second line
unit. I agree. And the other thing it gives him is a little bit of resiliency in that if he makes a few extra banes with Tartarus, it adds a little.
It's a bit of a recursion. So, I mean, he does have the Mechanithrills. He needs that back line to hold a little longer than it normally does. So he could have just Bane Knights being made.
Certainly possible. I'm not... Yeah.
It's an interesting choice that I would like an opportunity to talk to him about it.
Yeah, I'm curious see what his thinking is. Yeah.
Because he... Obviously, taking Tartarus out of Lich 2 means that you basically take the feat assassination off the table.
If that's already gone. Yeah. I mean, I guess you're saying keep Lich Lord alive and then... Or keep Tartarus alive.
It also makes your high... I mean, I guess he would just end up playing Peacecar against those matchups, but it makes your high def faction matchup worse. Like, it definitely makes the circle matchup a lot worse when Banes needs eight to hit, like...
Right. I mean, and maybe...
My heavies, or angels, or, you know...
Well, let's not forget, he still has Bile Thralls, so... But
I'm talking about killing heavies.
That's true.
So...
Yeah, actually...
Yeah, without... If Dark Guidance didn't exist in the Scar list, I think it's closer, but I just... I don't like it not him not in Lich, I don't think. But
it does allow him to get a little more business in his Lich list.
Yeah.
How do you
what is it?
Yeah, the Lich list is
Tartarus is not business.
Is Cankerworm Death Ripper, Bane Knights Max, Bane Knights Minimum, Bane Thralls Minimum with the UA, Satix's Blood Witches Minimum with the Hag, Minimum Bile Thralls, Wither Shadow Combine, Gurlak Slaughterborn, Warwitch Siren, Saxon Orc.
So he basically just gets an additional minimum Bane Knight unit, is that?
And a Gurlak Slaughterborn?
He's intentionally minimizing his... Like, there's a minimum Bane Thralls
and
for Gurlak. That's the trade that he chose.
Yeah.
And then...
Here's something that's interesting to me.
He chose to put Kangaroo in.
Gurlak is so good with Peacecar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good. It's just interesting. Mm. It's just like I said, I'd like to talk. Obviously, his lists aren't terrible. He did just fine. And
right. I mean, he certainly has a reason. I'm trying to think of what.
Yeah.
What the reason is, and I can't. And I'm really curious to know why he went the way he did.
Yeah.
It seems weird to me because I feel like he's losing the assassination vectors in both of his lists based on how he constructed them.
Scar's got a more legitimate assassination.
She does only have the one Helldiver instead of the frequently seen two Helldivers with her.
But she has Soul Hunters.
She does have the Soul Hunters, that's true.
No, she didn't have the Soul Hunters.
She didn't have a single Helldiver.
I thought he said a Helldiver and
Death Ripper.
And a Helldiver.
And a Helldiver.
Yeah, you're right. It's Death Ripper and Helldiver, yep. My apologies.
And she also has feedback plus a Tixus Raiders, so she's got kind of a lot of ways to come get you.
Yeah.
Wait. What? It's Peacecar.
Yeah,
Peacecar.
Yeah,
Peacecar.
Death
Ripper, Helldiver.
She's got a Death Ripper, so she can Arca, and then she's got
that she doesn't have on her spell list.
She's got
feedback.
She certainly does.
Just epic.
No,
she has feedback.
She 100% does.
I just played against Peacecar the other day with Ashlyn, which is a nightmare.
You can look it up.
That battle.
I played Peacecar all through Mark 1. Go ahead and tell me that it's not on there. I dare you.
Well, to be fair, the Mark 1 argument doesn't hold crap.
She has feedback.
All right.
What's the bet, Crump?
I've never seen her ever cast
fish slap bet.
No, because they'll never...
Fish slap bet.
What's the bet? Shaved head bet?
Yeah, that's a... Yeah, I'll shave my...
What? Lance is like, no, more work.
I get to do this at my desk while I'm listening to your podcast.
Yeah, but now you have to listen. You're like, I've already heard this.
I know that it's there, and I know I have to remove it.
Why does Crix players never cast that spell?
You know there's going to be one that just...
cast?
Yeah, she doesn't have feedback. That's why I've never seen it, because it's not a spell that exists in the game.
Backlash.
Backlash. You know, feedback is the ability on the Satix's Raiders.
Right. Doesn't have feedback.
You knew what we were talking about.
Right.
No, she doesn't have feedback.
All right.
I win! Shave technically correct. The best kind of correct.
go hang yourself.
You know, I would say Dine a Fire, but I used to say that all the time, and I said it to a firefighter once, and I felt really bad about it.
And then also you had a
and then your house caught on fire.
Go Dine.
I did. I said that. I
risk that every day, you jerk.
Like, one day I might.
No, in my WoW guild, I was like, I was just like, I just wish you'd just died a fire, Chris. And he's like, you know I'm a fireman, right? And I'm like, nope, didn't know that, clearly. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have said that. That's a little bit awkward. He goes, yeah, it's okay. Some of my best friends have died in a fire, but continue on. He like didn't let me off the hook at all. just blew me up, right?
Bagged that bus right back up over top of you.
But you know what? I don't say that to people anymore.
Yeah, that's good.
I learned my lesson.
Oh, my God.
It was pretty awesome. It certainly wasn't me bringing that out. I don't think I deserved it.
Yeah.
I think you deserved it. I don't even know what happened. Where am
Colin, check the time. How are we doing for time?
What's going on?
Oh, God. An hour and 28 minutes.
Holy cow.
Sick of forking me, Coach. I'm done.
Well, with the 70 minutes that he has to cut out of this podcast.
We'll cut it down to 45 minutes.
We're going to have an 18-minute podcast.
Yeah, it's very possible.
Oh, my God. We didn't miss halftime then.
Boom. Well, I think that's a podcast. Just talking about the Polish list.
Pretty yeah, talking about the winners.
No, those lists were sweet.
Hey, Josh, what day is it?
Oh, Christ.
It's not Wednesday.
It's not Wednesday.
It will be when it's post.
Hump day! Hump day!
All right.
I have to cut this tomorrow and post it for Wednesday.
Did you hear about the kids that got suspended from school for yelling that too much?
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because they were doing it on school every day.
Oh, well, then they deserve that.
Yeah.
They should get expelled for that.
I think they were using a different meaning for the word hump.
Ah.
Maybe.
Expulsion.
So just, it was sex day every day?
God,
yeah, it is.
They should have been.
Hump day? I really thought you were going to go with that. That's what your wife said.
Yeah. Just calling back to the beginning of the podcast. See if we had your face red again.
I was going to do it, but I couldn't get past that.
Yeah. Bring a full circle.
Wait, kids actually got suspended from school for just
yelling.
Hump day? But it was on not Wednesday.
Right. They were doing it every day.
Probably just going up to like all the girls in class and being like, it's hump day.
I'm imagining what this is sound like in stereo in my ears, and it creeps me out already. Like I'm gonna chill down my spine, hearing it like go across.
Oh god,
that's soundboard material if I've ever heard it. Yeah. You know what we need that for? We need that soundboard to soundboard that so we can use it when we film the mom porno.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's happening.
Guess what day it is.
Yeah. That is the title of the mom porno.
Guess what day it is.
Oh my gosh. The sequels would just be great. Hump Day 2.
Go on.
Would it also be Hump Day 3?
Yeah.
And potentially Hump Day 4.
Yeah.
We start naming them after Bond movies. Like Tomorrow Never Humps. Hump Another Day.
Hump Another Day
is good.
Sky Hump.
Sky hump, that's a good one.
Quantum of Humping.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or Humping of Solace.
Humping of Solace. I like that better, actually.
Yeah.
I'm still going to go with Sky Hump.
Hump Royale.
Hump Another Day.
Did we say that way?
He said that way.
God.
Man.
The Golden Hump.
The Man with the Golden Hump. Come on, man.
Oh, man with the Golden Hump. That's a good one.
Yeah, I like it.
These all could be Austin Powers movies, too, for as far as we can
see. So wait, is
from
our
show with lumps,
is our
with
mom with sex stuff?
Poor Lance. You know the best part is?
He's part of it?
Yeah, not only is he part of it, but this has to be done by Wednesday to be posted.
Yeah, I gotta do this all tomorrow. I'm going to
I'm glad we decided to take it easy on him and make it easy for him.
It's a good thing we decided to be really racy this episode.
Yeah.
Is this porno going to be a podcast?
No.
No,
you mean a
porncast?
A porncast?
It'll be a live porno.
Filmed in front of a live studio audience.
I don't mean
I will have to laugh track it.
I don't mean
I don't think
whenever John's pants come down.
It'll be our first podcast that was ever like less than 30 minutes.
You know,
John's line.
You know what the laugh track thing just reminded me of? This has probably already happened, but some sort of like parody porno called The Big Bang Theory.
I'm sure that's
that has a million laugh tracks.
That's definitely already a thing.
Yeah,
that's got to happen.
Yeah, how can it not be a thing?
I'm going to go home
John,
and Google it.
The only line.
Lance is officially Googling porn on the podcast. Let's close this.
Nayland Palin is already a thing.
John, your line on the porn podcast needs to be. Oh, you're big American penis.
Oh, Christ. It actually sounded like an Australian Asian. Oi! I'll pick up Mannequin.
Well, thank you for tuning in to episode 108.
Use on minis. The Big Bang Theory is a thing.
Yes, there is a...
Oh, my God! That's amazing.
Of course there is.
A XXX parody SFW video on Break.com.
The question is, how many... Is it really awkward if you take the laugh tracks out of it?
I have not watched it.
Let's live podcast.
This is... I'm not down for watching porn with you guys. I'm just not down
for that. Just not comfortable.
We're not that good of friends.
Yeah.
We're not that close.
So this has been episode 108
of Muse on Minis.
I'm John.
No, I'm John.
He's trying to play
the
trick.
He sounds more convincing.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
And who had sex with your wife?
Okay, this is Josh.
Jesus Christ.
That was the best start of the podcast. I'm still going to laugh about that for like weeks. Good one.
This is Lance.
This is Crumb.
And Colin.
Nick blew me up some more today.
Did he?
Did you see the thread?
I saw the thread about how everyone was just like...
Now you need to be talking into your mic.
I saw the thread about how everyone was just like, John has respect for us, just like every matchup's a
John?
Bad matchup.
Is that
no,
that?
Not that one. That what? Was... that was.
I haven't seen the other new one.
It's a thread for today's, which was the one we did with like...
Yeah, where I specifically went back and grabbed stuff and put a dream harp in front of it.
Did yeah, you? That nice. Part, that was great.
I'm well aware
yeah.
of so, what we did. But
which one's
I was kind of surprised.
That happened?
Which one's
you
Yogi?
Should listen to
I
it.
Should appreciate the work you do. I hear
thank
from
you.
Like second or third source usually. Never primary source.
I hadn't listened to
did you listen to 64?
Who's Yoga Dragon? Do-do-do-do. Which one's Yoga
that's
Dragon?
Nick.
That's Nick.
Oh, that's Nick? Yeah. Okay, all right.
Nick Bruce!
And then... is, I don't think it might be Mr. Berater, but that's Trevor.
Yeah, I enjoyed. I enjoyed that.
I'm just eat this apple.
And I enjoyed making you Scorn anime, Scorn community anime number one.
Oh, they're not going to. Scorn community is not going to care.
Oh, I care, John. Well, I mean, I care.
Yeah.
So nobody cares.
Well, he only cares because you took his dojo.
I mean, I know that you don't believe that anybody cares because you don't think of the Scorn players as people.
No, that's not true. God,
that is 100% true.
That's not true.
No people care.
I do not think of Nick Trevor and Carl's people.
I come down to this basement. John looks at me. He's like, get out of my basement, dog.
I don't think I said that.
I think you did.
I believe.
Lance Dream Harpet.
Listen,
he's never said that on the podcast. He said it in real life. Oh, no. But not on the podcast. Unfortunately, I'm not recording all the time.
Here's the deal. I say plenty of things that you can legitimately blow me up for. Uh-huh. We don't need to make up just for good radio.
That's the Adventure Time sound where they're at the guy's funeral and they're trying to make everybody happy.
It's also from, like, Family Guy.
Do 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 do, take it back.
Oh, which God part? Damn it.
What is?
Do you like that unacceptable
Yes.
Picture?
Yes.
Good.
It was totally unacceptable that Danny got by anybody but me.
Ew, that's my parents. Ew.
Look, that's right, you're adopted. I forgot.
It's important for you to remember that Dan, your mother and I still love each other very much.
Yeah.
No, Danny got...
Stop saying the R word.
I agree.
And
sections of the podcast out—it's terrible.
And the F word.
Well, that's always just preferred not to do. That makes my life a whole lot easier.
I mean, we're not actually doing a podcast. We're doing our pre-ramble. Right. So.
You can't talk about 2013 unless you talk
trademarked
about fudge.
Me. I trade.
What? Wouldn't that be 2007?
I haven't seen that episode. Clearly.
All right. It's the 2013 East versus West where they do the funky names. They did a secondary one with one guy's name is just Fudge, and it's like 15 U's. And then at the end, the sportscasters are talking about all the people that they're looking for Heisman trophies. And he's like, and you can't talk about 2013 unless you talk about Fudge. And that's just...
I haven't seen the second.
Is it weird that every time I think about Fudge, I think of Two Girls, One Cup?
Yes.
Yeah, it's weird that you ever think about Two Girls.
Yeah, oh, I'm definitely not using it now.
Yeah, see? Perfect. Colin saved
me. You guys have a lot of guilt for being white males.
This is the most racist.
Carry a lot
it's
of called white guilt for a reason, John. Every day I wake up and think, God, my life is awesome. Thank God I'm white.
That's not exactly how my day starts, but it's...
It's close.
Pretty
it's
close. Similar,
I think... Man, my life sucks. Imagine how much worse it would be if I wasn't white.
And male.
And male.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't feel really that much of a gap.
It sucks to be a minority woman.
I kind
of
wish I was white. Then you guys maybe wouldn't pick on me as much.
That's why I'm sexually attracted only to minority women.
Like Danny?
Really?
Like Danny.
There it is.
You realize so you racially profile your...
Yeah, I'm just like...
You're significant
I'm
others.
I'm like, you're white and relatively well off. I'm not really particularly sexually attracted to you.
Mainly because I know I have no shot, so I really need
somebody... Oh, right, way out of his silver line.
He's just like, I need somebody who's really poor and doesn't speak English, and then I'm probably in there.
Yeah, because they're just like, you Tom Cruise!
You just like
there's zero Easter egg material in any of this. I'm listening for it, and there's nothing. There is literally nothing.
That is either me eating or extremely racist.
Just like the most inflammatory pre-ramble yet.
Let's go. We're getting it out of our system.
Yeah. Is that why you do it?
We're going to try to be nice on this podcast.
I think that's good. I think that we've been too mean lately, particularly you and your hatred of the Scorn players.
I don't hate the Scorn players. I only hate Colin, Nick, and Trevor.
Right.
Can we ban...
Don't group them all together.
Ban
that's not
cussing
fair.
For the rest of the podcast.
Sure.
But before doing that, do the South Park and just cuss like 200 times once.
You can go in the bathroom and cuss a bunch if you want.
Yeah.
Why do we need to cuss 200 times?
Because it's funny.
Because Nick wants to every podcast, and he only ever gets like 15 in.
I get all my cursing out of work, so I don't know.
You come
I should start doing that to like the kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's conversation.
Like,
People come up to the bar. I'm just like, you, fuck off. Get the fuck out.
Mr. Crumpton, can you help me with this? No, God. You kids and your goddamn batch. Like,
just berate them.
Are they really kids? Or are they usually older than you are?
Oh, they're younger than I am.
Are they?
They're like 4 or 5 years.
How are you reaching them is what I want to know.
How can you?
With my arm and my backhand.
And it's...
several...
My backhand is the name of my...
The Wolf Riders, that's good. That's the Cav, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure is.
Why is somebody running Wolf Riders?
With Morvana, too.
One of the Poland team.
With Morvana, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
You never...
Yeah.
They're at eight.
And lucky, right?
With luck.
Yeah.
And they're hunters.
So you have 3 rerolls?
Well, 2 rerolls and a regular day.
Well, right. Never, you have 3 total rolls.
Why do you get 3?
Because of Scales of Fate.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
So you roll, miss, luck, roll it, miss, fans of, sans, or fate. Yeah.
Scales of Fate.
Scales of Fate, yeah.
Real men use Scales of Fate first.
Probably don't.
There's no reason not
luck,
to.
Luck and Scales of Fate don't say can only be rerolled once.
No, but...
But why would you take each, the hit point each hit when you could just do it for free?
With no, I know. I'm just
Scales of Fate.
That was the point.
Oh, okay.
So, like, luck lets you reroll an attack roll once.
Right.
Did you know in
play... So, the Scales of Fate. So, you can't, like, reroll from Scales of Fate the original roll, and then if that misses, luck it, and then if that misses, reroll the Scales of Fate.
Okay, I gotcha.
Because it's all the same attack roll.
Right.
Right.
Because I had that. I was like, do I just get 4 shots? It's like, let's see how this goes. Like, I'm just never going to miss.
That doesn't seem fair.
It actually makes your assassination way more viable.
I mean, that's what Scales of Fate does.
Yeah.
Like, that it's both, particularly about both attack and damage.
Yep.
Like, it just...
Did you know that in the field test, or the play test for her when she first came out, it was 1 point of damage to reroll?
Just one?
It wasn't D3.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty sick.
I'm a fan.
I feel like that's why it's not that way right now.
Yeah, and they're just like, and we nerfed it. Yeah, you did a good job. Nice job, guys. Good nerf.
Maybe it'll mean we'll get some more RFP. Anyway.
I think she's just...
We sure can hope so.
She has to get a ratted.
What about on 108?
Yeah.
Because 107 posted today, right?
Yep.
Okay, I just want to make sure you were on the right page before you started announcing and forgot.
We never get it right anyway.
I know you don't.